patient. We want things now. This gratification thing is a big thing with us. You see the elders, I wanted that too, right now. You see the things that have happened to people and the dreams and witnesses. Okay, I want mine right now. You know, we want everything now. Well, there's one thing you should want now. This understanding, this word, this belief. You should want that now. You should want God to do things with you now. But when you see the manifestation of those things, sometimes you say, oh, that's what I want. Okay, now. And you're not willing to wait to be taught. They all shall be taught of God, from the least to the greatest. All of them are going to be taught. Well, that teaching is the baptism. That's the burial you hear so much about. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. In your burying, God is teaching you. In that burial, he's teaching you. You're dying to self. There's the death you had, and then you're buried. When people die, they get buried. Well, in God, there's something active going on when you're getting buried. It's active. And he's teaching you in that death, burial, resurrection. And if you get taught and believe and come all the way to the end of that belief, then the next thing you know, you're resurrected. See, it's not the way it is with people here. We think when we bury somebody, that's the end of them. I see these things, RIP on the thing, rest in peace. It's the end of you. That's the end of it. No, that's just the beginning. Just because you left this doesn't mean that there's an end to everything. No, you're just beginning another life. Very important. And what type of life you live, it's going to be up to you. It's going to be your will. It's going to be how you perceive God. It's going to be based on your intent. It's very important for you to understand that. So your intent should be that you want to serve God. You want to do everything God says he wants you to do. Period. If God says to do it, you do it. Actually, that's really what it comes down to, because he said, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my command. A lot of us say we love God, and yet we're not even doing the basic things God's asked us to do. I mean, it's very powerful. So is that love a true love, or is it a feigned love, as the scripture talks about it? Feigned. Feigned means it's an act. I'm going to say something here. My granddaughter was staying with us, and she went back up to Phoenix with Claudette Friday. But she left her luggage here with her medicine and all this stuff in it. So yesterday they called me. They said, Da? They're what? So I left my luggage down there, and I need my medicine and all this stuff. And then, you know, Shantae comes in, then Claudette comes in. She said, well, they want to know if you'll drive, and we'll meet you at Gila Bend halfway. Gila Bend is not halfway to Phoenix. But they say that to make it sound palatable. It's two-thirds of the way. So I'm going two-thirds, they're going one-third. You know what I mean? And they say, oh, you meet us halfway and you know, whatever. So I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll leave in 10 minutes. Said, what? In 10? Yeah, I'll leave in 10. I'm just going to get a couple things done. I'll get on the highway in 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, I was going down the highway off of 16th, you know, so. And I go all the way to Gila Bend. Shantae shows up, gets out of her thing, come over. We talk for a little bit. I give her the luggage, whatever. She gets back. She said, thanks, Dad. Really, thank. Appreciate it. I don't know how she forgot that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Goes back. She goes back. I come back here. So 4 hours of driving yesterday, a little over 4 hours of driving to get a piece of luggage that she forgot. But she texts me and she said, Da, I'm so sorry I had to have you do something. I know you had things planned for your day. I went out and all this. She went through this whole, I'm sorry, you know, but I really needed that and all this. Thank you and all of that. And I said, love is not always convenient. In fact, many times it's inconvenient. But nevertheless, it's always love. And she wrote me back, Da, thanks. I hadn't heard anything like that before, you know. And so, but she thought, I think she's thinking about it, you know. It's the same way with Christ, guys. It may not always be convenient for you, the things he asks you to do. In fact, in some cases, it'll make you uncomfortable what he's asked you to do. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But if you do it, that shows that you love the Father and that you love his Son. Even when you don't want to do these things, if you do them in spite of, and you still do it by obedience, such a powerful thing. Even Jesus, an example of that in the garden. Father, if possible, let this cup pass. Did he know as God in him what was going to happen? Oh, he knew. And it was going to be a horrible thing, guys. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. So did he love the Father enough that he even went to death for it? He loved his Father enough that he would do the will of the Father and went to death. There's a scripture that says, the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. We think it was just going to the cross and just dying, but he suffered many things, guys. He suffered being mocked and beaten and ridiculed and, you know, and just lie. He was told, called a liar, a wine bibber, whatever. It wasn't just the cross. It was everything leading up to it. And in some cases, some things beyond it. Even those that were his disciples, did they all scatter when that happened? Wow. He said, you're going to be scattered because of me tonight. What's going to happen? So everybody that claimed that they loved him and would pursue him, Peter even told him one time, I'll do everything all the way to the end. I'll never leave you. Well, see, the words. So quit speaking words that are not fulfilled. You say you love God, then do everything God asks you to do. That's the ultimate goal. Why do you think there are deacons and elders already ordained, some falling with understanding? Why do you think that was? Did they already show God that they loved him, they were willing to do, and he put them in those places so that they can convert others? They can be partakers of the same calling? Wow. That's why. So were some chosen out because they already were that way with God? He knew that they were going to love him to the end, even to death. Very powerful. Get that mind in you, guys. Get it in you, because it's very important for you to have it. And I'm going to do everything God asks me to do, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how it may shake me, no matter how much it's going to try my faith, no matter how much it's going to make it hard on me, even in this physical realm sometimes, the manifestation of it. In fact, a lot of times, if you're going to be proved, what did he do to Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt? He took them into the desert to do what? To prove them. We're all going to be proved. Every man's work is going to be tried by fire to see what manner of work it is. Now, fire is what? It's the word of God. So it's going to be tried by that. Is that where your tribulation and persecution is going to come in? Yes, it is. The tribulation comes because of the word. So every man's work is going to be tried by fire. See what manner of work it is. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, burnt up. In other words, you were never real anyway. You stayed in the flesh. You notice, wood, hay, stubble. Those are fleshly things. It's fleshly thought, okay? And the ore wasn't going to be gold, silver, and precious jewels, which do not perish in fire, but are made even more pure. Ah, so the fire is doing what to them? Purifying them even more, removing all uncleanliness. So if your work is going to be tried by fire anyway, wouldn't it be better if it's be tried by a precious jewel or precious metal? Because that's what you're typified to. Is it not the wisdom and understanding of God? Do you understand that the jewels are the men of God that have been given to you as gifts to edify the body? That's what they are. Those are the jewels. Those are the precious stones. Remember one of the things that Lucifer said, he walked up and down the fire among those precious stones. Those precious stones are the sons of God. Very powerful, huh? Think about this. So, I've said all that because I'm going to talk to you just in short about something. We may go to some scripture. In fact, we have to for one part. Jacob, find that scripture in Acts where it talks about that girl that had the spirit of divination. Just put divination in and it'll be in Acts somewhere. I don't know what chapter. And then I need somebody else to find another scripture for me. Find me the scripture where it talks about Jezebel being thrown out of the tower and the dogs eat her up. So Jacob will find one. If you can find the other. I think if you put in probably dogs and Jezebel, it'll probably come up. I think it's in Kings. Is it 2 Kings? Is there a scripture of 2 Kings? Yeah. Okay, go to that one, Gail, and start reading probably at 30, 28 or 30. What does it say there? Nope, go down a little bit more. Yeah, that's it. Okay, read that. And just keep reading.
2 Kings 9:30. And when Jeru was to come to Jezreel, Jezreel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window.
Okay, stop. So Jezebel heard that Jehu was coming, right? They had already defeated her husband Ahab in a battle, and all that had already been taking place. Remember, even Gary talked about it. He hid himself, disguised himself as a king, got in his chariot, and said, "They won't recognize me," and went out to battle. But some guy took an arrow, just perchance. Oh, well, I'm in battle. I'll shoot my arrow out there where the enemy is. Bing! Shot his arrow. And all, even though Ahab had hidden himself, disguised himself, had on armor, everything, riding in a chariot, moving. And that arrow found him, struck him right between where the armor wasn't, went right through him and killed him. You're not going to get away from God. When God says this is going to happen, it's going to happen. And Elijah had prophesied that. That's who the prophet is at the time, Elijah. And Jezebel hated Elijah. She hated him with a passion. Mainly because of that thing. Remember when he called fire down from heaven and 450 of her prophets died, were slain, and all that stuff? I mean, she hated Elijah. And in fact, she said, "I'm going to make you like one of those my men with false prophets before the day is out. In other words, I'm going to kill you." And that's when he took off running, remember? He was scared of Jezebel. He shouldn't have been, but he was. It's an amazing thing. But keep reading now. This is after all of this.
And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?"
Okay, stop. So she said, makes a statement about some king or some other man, Zimri, I think his name is. And he says, did he have peace when he slew his master? So what she's saying is, I know you're coming after me. My husband's already dead, and I know you're coming after me, Jehu, because he's one of the generals in the armies of Israel. I'm going to come against you. I'm going to get you. And she knew that. And she said, "Well, you're not going to have peace if you do anything to me." Just like Zimri didn't have peace when he killed his master. Read that part again.
And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall, on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in and
okay,
he did,
hold it right there. So she painted herself up, remember, made herself look really good. Jezebel was a beautiful woman. It was noted, her beauty was noted throughout all of Israel. She was not an ugly woman. And everybody was kind of envious of Ahab having her for his wife. She was beautiful, but she was wicked. She was beautiful and wicked. That was the thing about her. And so she painted herself up because she thought, if Jehu looks at me and I paint myself up the best I can, he may spare me and I'll do whatever I have to do to live. I'll be his. See? She's using the same thing in chapter 6 of Proverbs. The woman that paints herself up and tells the simple-minded man standing on the corner, come with me, let's go to the bed, and let's take our fill of love till the morning. I've decked out my bed with tapestries and silver and perfumes. This is Jezebel. Very beautiful. But he says, who's on my side up there? Several eunuchs stick their head out. He said, if you're on my side, throw her down. And as they threw her down, she hit against that tower going down, and her blood was sprinkled as she was falling because she was hitting till she hit the ground. But when she hit the ground, he wanted to make sure that she wasn't going to get up again. So he took his horse and he trod over. He ran over many times to make sure she was dead. Now read that part again.
And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go, see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And
she's
they went to bury
daughter.
Her.
Go ahead.
And they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands.
Wow.
Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel.
Okay, so he knew that there were people that would still worship Jezebel. And even if they found her body, oh, we'll bury her and this will be a special place, whatever. It had already been prophesied. Dogs are going to eat you up. And her skull was left, palms of her hands. They did a job on her. Those dogs did. Now, we think about this. Don't think in the natural. Dogs are evil workers. They consumed her, her thought, her very thought, what she was. And then what they put out was dung after consuming something. And it says she's going to be as that dung, the refuse that comes out of evil workers. Wow. God's making a deeper story here, guys. Now, that's why he says he didn't want anything, any memorial to her, any part of her left that they could make a memorial. He said, because this is what the prophecy is all about. And you know what? People still have that spirit of Jezebel in them. How do we know? It's in the dung. But what do we know about the book of Revelation? What does it say? Ah, so what? She's in the church of Thyatira, right? Her spirit. And what does she do? This is what Jesus said, I have somewhat against you because you allow that Jezebel, that wicked one, to do what? She teaches. He said, you're letting her teach in the church. Remember, she believed in prophecy. She just believed in false prophecy. It had to be her way. False. All of her prophets were false prophets. That should tell you something right there. She's an instrument of that seven-headed beast that's in heaven. This is her spirit we're talking about. So her spirit lived on in people that wanted, desired the same thing as her. You get where I'm going with this? And so he said, you teach my people to eat things that are offered unto idols. And he said, you know what? I'm going to kill you and your children. I'm going to kill them in your bed. Go read it. They're going to die the death in the bed. What death? They'll be here. Your children will be here. Everything you reproduce will be here. Does that make sense? There'll be those spirits moaning and in torment, wanting to get out. They're your children. Everyone that follows her and is begotten by her, those are her children. Anyone that follows that in the church, follows those thoughts, those are her children. This is your end. Now, why did I say that? Why? Why are we talking about that? Do you think that's in the church? Obviously it is, because Jesus said, I have somewhat against you in that church. Are there thoughts that you may think are of God and they're really not? So you need some discernment of Jezebel, don't you? Much. Okay? Now, let me take you to, did you find that scripture about where we were at in, where does it start? Where, is it Paul and Silas? Yeah, that's it.
That one, right? All right, Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.
Stop. She's has a spirit of divination. She's a soothsayer, right? Hey, guys, just say it this way. She's a necromancer, a witch, whatever way you want to put it, okay? Now, it's not like what we think here. It's, she has a spirit of divination, right? But what she says, is that good what she's saying?
Seems like it.
Read it again. What is she saying?
Well, it says in 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Talking about the apostles, right?
Yeah.
Which show unto us the way of salvation.
That is something, huh? That she's saying that? But then look what Paul does. Keep going.
And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, to that Spirit, right? I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
Wow. So Paul could see it, huh? He could see the spirit of it. Now, let me tell you what she was doing. What she spoke was true, but she was doing this. That's what the enchantress does. That's what the necromancer does. That's what the whisperer does. It flatters. She was flattering them. She knew what they were there for, but she was doing it in a form of flattery. How many times have you heard people say, oh man, you really preached. Now, catch what I'm saying. You really preached today, man. Oh man, you're just great. Oh man, you just did this, you did that. If you believe your own press, you're being... Sometimes people align themselves with others through flattery. But when it's spiritual, it is a bad thing. Paul knew it. Because she could have aligned herself with all the people he was talking to. Remember, they were trying to win people. And say, yeah, these men are from Most God. Yeah, and they would think, oh, man, this, she's right with us, man. Really? No. She's the witch, the necromancer in the midst, the flatterer, the enchantress in the midst. And she will draw many to their death. He understood who she was and what she was. Absolutely. So she flattered. She was saying that to flatter them. They didn't need any flattery. They knew who they were. They knew who they were in God. But sometimes, here's the thing, guys. Sometimes even some of you come up and you say, oh, that was great, Kenny. That was nice. Hey, Kenny didn't do anything. Does that make sense? You know, you've been hearing me say this lately, some of you have, is that, hey, just give the glory to God. Because if it wasn't God's word in the mouth, we wouldn't receive anything. This within itself does not know it. It doesn't know it. But that which is in this knows it. And so it'll bring it forth. Does that make sense? It's the word coming from God, so who deserves the glory for it? God deserves the glory for it. Dan was telling me something. I was telling Gary, I said, I really appreciate what you did and everything while you were here. And I said, to God be the glory. He said, hey, man, that's who deserves it. He understands. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, Gary and I have a relationship. Just like he told you guys, we go way back. Way back. Even before Gary ever got in this. But we do have a relationship. We were friends before all of this. But the thing is that understanding where God has changed us, we were talking. He said, bro, just think about that. We were both so deep in religion, and God took both of us out of it and brought us to this. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, Gary, you're right, man. That is such a blessing to come out of that crap, dung, and come into the truth of life. What an amazing thing that two people that knew each other way back came into the same thing. Wow. PK, he said, man. He said, that is something. He was sitting there thinking about it the same time I was thinking about it. He said, that was something. I said, that's right, Gary. It is something, man. It's an it is the glory of God. It shows you how God can work. This thing about my daughter praying for several years, and God brought it to pass. I believe, you think that encourages my faith? You think my faith is going to jump through the roof? It will. Because the very thing, but did it come overnight? Was it instant? Ah, so then you have to hold on to faith, don't you? Don't you? Sometimes you may be praying about something for years, but as long as it comes to pass, as long as it comes to pass, very good. I have other prayers I have up before the Lord, and it has nothing to do with this physical realm. What I want is the opportunities while they're here to hear what God is speaking through my mouth. That's why I'm so excited. I started with my granddaughter already, and there's some things she's been questioning me about, you know, talking to her. I think my son talked to her about some things. So now it's triggering a response. My son, Sean, is triggering a response. Things that I say to them, I just speak very direct and very truthful to them. And then I what I want them to do is to consider what I say. Now, here's the thing, guys. If they never come to it in this lifetime, have I already planted a seed? Have they already considered it? So when I become what I'm supposed to become, will I go get them? God loves who I love. See how it works? I don't lose anything. I don't lose any sleep about whether my kids come into this during my lifetime or not. You know why? Because I've spoken to all of them at one time or another. And I'm going to recover that seed that I put in them. Now catch this. Did I prophesy that into them? Yes, I did. Will I come and redeem that and bring it back? Yes, I will. Have there been things that we've prophesied? And you remember, prophecy is nothing more than the word. Right? Is it 2 Peter 1:20? Somebody get that? The very first chapter, verse 20, or is it 1 Peter? I think it's 2 Peter. Yeah, is that it? Yeah, go ahead and read it.
2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Stop. So what did it call Scripture? Prophecy of Scripture. Because that's what the Scripture is. It's prophecy. That book, you look at it, remember Gary was talking about it's really more than that book, huh? But that book, that's all prophecy. It's the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ from beginning to end. And you're in that. You're in his world. So that's prophecy, what God prophesied and spoke from the beginning that to get his children back. This is what's being accomplished right now through all of these things to get it back. Is God going to get everything back? Yes, he will. He'd be less than God if he couldn't do it. Now, we put time in there, because some of us are hard-headed. Some of us have a bad will, a bad spirit, wicked thought, whatever. It's going to take a while to overcome all of that. Because you still are who you are when you go to that place. And it's going to take some convincing to get you out of that. But if you're tormented enough, you'll say, whew. Like that man there was in hell. He said, I am tormented in this place. He said, tell my brothers don't come here. Didn't he say that? He came to a realization and he said, just put one drop on my tongue. That'd be better than me having none. But what good is it going to do him? Whew. He said, I am tormented in this place. This is what people forget. Well, if God's going to win us all back anyway, I just don't have to do very much. You know, God's going to get me back anyway. Okay, you go a million years in that type of torment where that guy's crying out, saying, please, Father Abraham, do something for me, because that's how bad it is. And people say, well, it doesn't make any difference. God's going to do this anyway. Man, what a slothful thought. What a wicked thought. Because you better take notice of what God is telling you now to keep you from having to go through all of that. And I said a million years. What if it's a billion? In torment. Constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in torment. We don't even like the torment we have here, like in a thought or a dream. That bothers us. Can you imagine what it is spiritually? Very bad. So people that say, well, I'll catch it next time around, or God's going to win us all back anyway, whatever, they don't realize what they're going to have to go through until that happens. That is not good. What did Rick's dad tell him? Get me out of this place. When he went to him, went to talk to his spirit, get me out of here. Get me out of here. That should be a good testimony to everybody. So would it be worthwhile to obey God now in everything he says to do? I'm talking about a lot of things this morning. I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about divination. I'm talking about Jezebel. I'm talking about discerning of spirits. I'm talking about what you listen to and what you don't listen to. I'm talking about what makes you clean and unclean. I'm talking about how your heart being perceived as evil, being regenerated to a heart of peace and of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about how you think. I'm talking about your world. I'm talking about how it needs to be converted to the world of Christ. I'm talking about how you view God. And I'm talking about how you understand God. There is much in what we're saying this morning. Those are the things you need to consider. And every one of us has to face a judgment. Now, would you rather be resurrected and be the judge? Remember when it talks about resurrection and damnation and eternal life, and you're going to be that judge? Or would you rather be the one standing out there and they have to open all those books and tell you? If they have to do that to you and you're not in the book, I don't want to hear my name out of the books. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear my name in the book. And the book is being written now, so the book is already being put in place. It's already been put in place. You understand what I'm saying? Either you're in the book or you're not. So God knows through prophecy, foreknowledge, he knows all things. But those other ones that are standing out there, the great and the small, it says, whether they were in the deep or whether they lived on land and were buried, makes no difference where they were at, because that's just that other part. That spirit, all of them have to stand before God. And it says they stand out on nothing. See if it says if there's anything to stand. I saw the small and the great standing before that throne. Standing on what? God's upholding them by the word of his power so he can judge them. Not good. You want to be in the book, which is being written now. Are you not a living epistle? It's being written now. You're a living epistle. It's being written now. Where's your zeal for God? Where's your love for God? You should want to hear this word every time it's being spoken. You don't want to let anything keep you, an obstruction, keep you from hearing this word, because by this word, you're being baptized. You're being buried with him so you can be raised in the newness of life of resurrection with him. If we have been buried with Christ, we shall also rise with him. This is what God wants you to do. Every time you hear this speaking, we're baptizing all of you. You're receiving a baptism. You're coming into the fullness of the understanding of God. Does that make sense? So you're being baptized right now and every time. Right now. That's the power of this word. The word is powerful. Does that make sense? Very powerful. So should you pay much attention to this word? This is one of those things that has to be done here. There are several other things that have to be done here that God requires. And guess what? forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's what we're doing right now. Was that a commandment? Yes. Don't forsake this. Be here. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. Other things God says too you should do concerning the ministry. If you don't do them, how can you think that you're going to be with God if you're disobedient to God? How do you think that's going to work? I gave you a commandment. You said you loved me, and you never did it. Your intent was wrong behind it. Wow. So now I'm going to judge that intent. And then you're going to say, gosh, why didn't I do it? So simple, something simple. God said, do it, I should do it. That's what you're going to be saying to yourself. Do you think that might be part of the torment? When you come before him, say, hey, I did this in your name, did that in your name. He's going to look at you and say, yeah, look, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Wait a minute, God, all those times I went to service, all those times I did this, all those great offerings I gave to the body for different things, all these things that I did, you mean you don't even know me? That's right, because you never were obedient to me. You never did what I said to do. You were never mine. You were your own. You followed another father. You listened to Jezebel. You listened to that woman. And evil workers came into your world and tore you a new one, and you followed them and you didn't follow me. What did the children of Israel do all the time that he was proving them? That unbelief. What did they do? Complained and murmured, but what did they do as far as God? They always served other gods. The gods of the heathen that were around them. Always. And God told him, said, this is going to be to your hurt. This is going to be to your hurt. This is not good for you. So when we make an idol in our mind, or if we're disobedient in our mind, are we doing the same thing? What was the mark of the ones that were Israel? What was it that you could always tell about Israel? They never believed. They said they loved. Oh, God's our God. He's the God of Abraham. That's our forefather. Da 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 da. Never did what he said to do. So are you of Israel? Or are you of the apostles? Are you of Jesus Christ?